morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us this morning for our Monday morning biweekly producer power call. We're running a little bit behind. I apologize for that, so we're going to get started right away with Scott Harris. Scott?
Thank you, T, and good morning to everybody. Hope everyone had a great weekend and enjoyed the last few weeks since our last power call. Today's call will probably last about 15, 20 minutes. Steve, on the way into work today, got into a small fender bender. I think he was either thinking about index annuities or maybe got tagged by somebody supporting Obama. But nonetheless, we will go through a lot of good information for you today on the market. I'll also cover some things that I learned in Des Moines, Iowa last week. I was at a conference with Brokers International and was able to talk with a lot of the CEOs of some of these major insurance companies that we do business with. So I'll give you a little lowdown of what's going on there. But let's get into the stock market, what's happening right now with the market. You know, we've been seeing the market increase, kind of have a stealth move upward. And I guess overall that's a good thing for the economy, for the markets. I think it's kind of a move that's been based on information that the hedge funds are taking and really taking it hard and pushing the market up, as are other institutions, because the volume is quite low. In fact, I'll go through that a little bit later. But the market closed at 13,275. It's down a little bit today based on some news of what's happening overseas in Europe. And I would suspect that trend will probably continue for the rest of the day. But it's basically not far behind its high from what it was back in December of 2007. So bottom line is, if you had monies back in 2007 and you've got money in the market now, you're about at a break-even stage with the exception of the dividend flow, because the market has now returned back to the level it was back in 2007. The market has been up about 9.7% since June, so that once again is a good thing overall in the market. The S&P closed at 1418, and the NASDAQ up over 3,000 at 3,076. Just a couple points regarding this whole rally. The market has been rallying on low volume. Last week, in fact, we saw the lowest volume in the market since 2006. Very lackluster, not a lot of enthusiasm, yet the market still continues to get pushed up. And one of the things that we tend to look at, and I know that you who are in the investment world watch too, and that is the VIX. The VIX is the volatility index, and if you go on stock charts or bigcharts.com, you can take a look at the VIX. The ticker symbol is VIX, what a surprise. But you can take a look at the volatility index. And the volatility index is kind of an interesting animal to follow. If you have a very high volatility index, in fact, that happened back in 2008. That generally means that there's a lot of problems in the stock market, a lot of problems in the economy. A lot of people are just not willing to take forth any of the risk inherent with the stock market. On the converse, if the very, very low, that always also shows a little sign of concern, because it is a sign of complacency within the market. Like, people just aren't really interested in the market, and any little tidbit of information could push the market in a bad direction. So once again, you've got to take a look at what the VIX is telling us. See what's going on with the VIX right now. The VIX has fallen below 14. Okay, it fell below 14 last week. This is the first time that the VIX has fallen below 14 since June of 2007. And as I said, that's a sign of complacency within investors. And essentially, investors just don't care about the market, is what it's saying. Now, the other times that the VIX has fallen below 15, the last two times since Lehman Brothers collapsed, that was April of 2011 and March 2012, the market tumbled both times. So once again, just be aware of that VIX number. Anytime that it goes below the 15 level, it's always a little cause for concern, because complacency moves in and any little bit of information pushes the market down and then the profit takers come in. So again, the VIX is showing signs of complacency. Just keep in mind that the last two times it did that since the Lehman Brothers collapse, the market dropped dramatically. So keep that in mind. Not saying it's going to happen this time, but the odds are that it could potentially happen. Okay? Next, let's take a look at the economy as a whole. You know, the economy has been trying to gain some traction. That's a good thing. It is showing some signs that it is picking up a little bit. But I kind of like to use the analogy about a bad transmission. You know how you kind of turn the car on and, you know, kind of winds a little bit if you got a bad transmission. It finally catches and you take off a little bit. And they might stop at a stoplight or stop sign, and then the same thing happens. Well, that's what's going on with our economy right now. Americans are gaining confidence on the short term, but in a long-term future, they're really concerned about some of the things that could wipe out the growth that we've had already. You know, what's going on over in Europe, these elections. You know, we know what Obama's game plan is. He wants to tax more. He wants to have more government control of various agencies in our life. And quite frankly, in a free enterprise system like we have, that doesn't bode well for what we're looking at doing as advisors. Growth in the economy is still sluggish. You take a look at growth in the second quarter. We grew as an economy about 1.5%. That is not a very good thing to have, obviously, for the markets and for our overall sustainability to grow as an economy. If we take a look at the unemployment rate, you know, I can beat a dead horse at this. We're still at 8.3%. If you take a look at certain states within our country, Nevada, state level is at 12%, Michigan's at 9%, and here in Florida, we are at 8.8%. So we're seeing unemployment still quite high. That trend should continue for quite some time. If we take a look going forward, it looks like we're going to be in a slow and unsteady growth pattern for quite some time. You know, we have to keep in mind what this recession was all about. With business cycle recessions, we might last anywhere from 2 to 3 years. With this credit crunch and the like, it could last up to 7 or 8 years. We look at 2008 as being really the time when these credit crunch did hit us. So look for a couple more years of this nonsense going forward. So once again, keep that in mind when you're advising clients on their finances. A lot of bumpiness, not a lot of growth, and just maybe some dividend flow coming from stocks. And of course, taking a look at the index annuity as a provider for a portion of the client's guaranteed income for life. If we take a look at large cities and municipalities, great articles I've been reading about what's going on with the larger cities. A lot of states and municipalities, they're looking at cutting payrolls and employees in a big, big way. A lot of them are eliminating pension benefits, and it's going to cause the economy to slow down even further. There's a study that went on by the Nelson Rockefeller Institute, and said that local governments made roughly $50 billion in pension contributions recently, but their unfunded pension liabilities totaled $3 trillion. So they're woefully underfunding pensions, you know, state and local governments. The unfunded health liabilities for health insurance totaled $1 trillion. That's with a T, not a B. So we're looking statewide that we have problems in funding their pension, their health liabilities, but yet we're taking a look at municipal bonds, and the municipal bonds are obviously they're issuing more and more municipal bonds. They have to do that simply because they have to try and meet some of their obligations financially. So we're seeing this happening. Looks like municipalities are having difficulties, but yet we're seeing more municipal bonds being issued, so people are taking on more risk in taking on those municipal bonds. If you just kind of read some articles over the weekend about what Rick Scott's doing here in Florida, he's looking at cutting down on the accrued sick pay that's given to a lot of employees at retirement, and that's going to cause a backlash here in this state, but really it's a necessary evil. State and local governments have to cut back, and this is the norm of what's going to happen globally, well, not global, but nationwide here. Many municipalities and companies are stopping defined benefit plans. If you take a look at defined benefit plans, obviously, you know, that stipend that they're receiving on a monthly basis is going to be no more for newer employees. So what does that open up for us as an opportunity selling index annuities? It's a great opportunity to sell that guaranteed income for life. So I thought that was very, very interesting. Just kind of to let you know, too, on that same vein, there is an article that I read recently about what's happening in the pension world, and I found it very interesting that the Obama administration, believe it or not, is really promoting the use of annuities within 401k plans. And I thought that was kind of interesting that he would come up with such a good idea, because that doesn't seem like something that he would do. But nonetheless, What it does for us as advisors is open up opportunity. And we obviously are always looking for opportunity for our clients and also for our, you know, our own practices to expand and to grow. But the rules are allowing more and more annuity carriers to get involved with 401k plans. So we're seeing larger corporations out there that are taking now a look at incorporating the annuities within their 401k plans as an option, because a lot of these major companies are eliminating that defined benefit plan. So what's happening now is the federal government is understanding that there's such woeful shortfalls with people's retirement, and people obviously are going to go to the government for help if they can't do it on their own. They're looking at ways to then provide a security or safety net. Or does this sound familiar, security and safety net, for people into their retirement. Now, I was recently in Des Moines, Iowa, that thriving metropolis in the Midwest, and I was at a conference last week with Brokers International. Learned a lot of good things about the annuity world, some of the new things that are coming out. But what we did have there is there was a panel that was put together by Brokers International of all the CEOs, believe it or not, of the annuity divisions in the country. So we had Aviva there, Allianz there, ING there, Great American there. Let's see, there's one other carrier there. The name escapes me. But nonetheless, we were able to do a question and answer with them. And just kind of some of the things that they summarized, which I thought was quite interesting, was that a few of the carriers, three of them, are right now in the process of designing a 401k package with an index annuity. And so this would be one of those accounts where you could, it'll fit in with, you know, putting money in on a regular basis, not just lump summing money, but it can actually fit within a 401k package. Now, it doesn't look like that's going to come out like in the next week or two, but they said that they're going to keep us attuned to that marketplace, because they look at it as being an enormous marketplace for index annuities. So kind of keep that in mind. Going forward, as when we find out more about that, I know there's going to be some packaged products that we can approach, you know, even middle-sized corporations for that. And I know a lot of you are working in the 401k market. That would be a nice little addition to someone's 401k package, because you can just add it as a kind of like an add-on. It doesn't necessarily, that the index annuity doesn't necessarily have to be a standalone takeover of the asset. You can add it on to the existing plan. So that, I thought, was going to be something very, very earth-shattering in the index world. Going forward, too, when I was at the conference, a lot of people were complaining about the paperwork and some of the nonsense questions that get asked. In fact, one of the guys that was there's I forget which state he was in, but they were asking questions about, in the suitability, how much that they spent for food every month. And everybody was complaining about that, saying, you know, you've crossed the line. It's just so ridiculous. You're asking too many questions. But everybody agreed. All the CEOs agreed. They said, look, we're only meeting the obligations of what the regulators are asking us to do. And the regulators are getting heat, obviously, from the securities industry. They want to keep that distance away from the securities. They don't want the annuities to become securities, because we saw what happened recently with that whole debacle. And as a result, they've almost been coerced or blackmailed into having all these ridiculous suitability forms that have to be signed. And it looks and appears that trend is going to continue and could potentially even get worse. So I know that we've been trying to talk to people from Aviva and Allianz and the major carriers about this nonsense, but really their hands are tied. And we know that how inefficient it is, and we know that clients don't like to sign their name 20 different times on an app, but it's reality. It's reality, and I think how they look at it is that we'd rather have you sign and be a little uncomfortable with signing all these apps than having this thing become a security and then go under the rules and regulations of the SEC. So that trend is going to continue. But it was a good meeting in Des Moines. I got a chance to meet the CEOs personally. Most of them, I think, are pretty decent fellas. The fellow from Allianz is, in particular, very sharp individual, and I have a lot of confidence with what he has to say about his company going forward, meeting their financial obligations. A couple other things, too. I know some of you have asked about Aviva. And Aviva right now is, from what we can see, is on the market. Okay. In fact, an article that came out last week said that Aviva is trying to sell their American division, and they will actually take a loss of about $800 million just to get them off their books. Now, it's not the fact that Aviva is not profitable. What's happened because of the credit crisis in 2008, Europe has required, in particular, England has required insurers to carry significant amount, a lot more significant amounts of reserves in order to back up the investments or the insurance products that they provide. So what's happening now is it doesn't make any sense for Aviva to do business because of the huge amounts of reserves that they're going to have to carry to support the products that are sold over here in the United States. So they are looking at selling Aviva. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know if it's going to happen, but there's talk is that there's been a couple major carriers out there that are very, very interested in acquiring Aviva. Now, someone in the audience at Iowa did ask the CEO of Aviva here at, Aviva North America about that, and of course, you know, he had to be kind of political about it. He couldn't say much because it is a publicly traded company, but he did say that, yes, the company is up for sale, and there are some suitors that they're talking to, but he said nothing is struck in concrete. So just to let you know that that is something that we're going to be addressing in the not-too-distant future, I suspect. But what we will try to do here at Safe Money is let you know what's going on with it before it, you know, any news really hits the public in a big way, because when that does happen, your clients are going to have a lot of questions, and we're going to help try to provide the answers for you when that time does come. Okay, one of the things, too, that I thought was very interesting, and that is on the rules and regulations side. I just touched on that a little bit with the index annuity world. And over the weekend, what I found, which is kind of concerning, is that the Labor Department, who regulates the overall what's going on with the financial advisors and insurance agents and the like, they are coming down hard, or trying to come down hard on more and more rules and regulations with advisors. And I just want to read you an article about something here within the Wall Street Journal, in fact, came out of this article I picked up over the weekend. And it said here, the Labor Department is working on a regulation that would increase the cost of retirement planning for middle-class workers to protect them from free investment help. This regulation, known as the fiduciary rule, would tighten restrictions and increase litigation risks for businesses that offer investment guidance on a commission basis rather than the more expensive fee-for-service model. So what the Labor Department is trying to do is regulate commission-based securities salesmen. They're looking at opening up the opportunity for bigger litigation. They're looking at more disclosures. They're looking at more and more CE credits that have to be accomplished before you can keep your license going for the year. But what I see is the litigation risks. If the market goes down, by any means, the client will have the right to sue you even more so than it is right now. That's what the Labor Department is proposing. Now, there is a Republican out there that's trying to shoot this down. And he is gaining some traction in doing so, but they are coming back, and they're going to make another proposal in the not-too-distant future on what's going to happen in the securities world. People like you, people like me, who are commission-based security salespersons, they're essentially trying to eliminate us. You see the writing on the wall here. When I first got started in the business back in the 80s, we had front-end commissions on only one share of class of mutual funds, and the commission was generally about 8.5%. I grant you that was probably a little high, but then what happened was as time went on, it started going lower. Then we saw the B shares come out, and then we saw the C shares. Well, we see what's going on now. They've eliminated the B class shares, and they really frown upon you working with C class shares. They want everybody to work with an A class share, and that essentially the fees are going down there too. So it's very, very difficult to make a living. They're looking at trying, making advisors work more with wrap accounts, where they charge some kind of nominal annual fee. That's where the direction of the world is going in investments. So if you're not looking at doing that or you haven't set yourself up that way, that's what everybody is looking at going towards. That's what the regulators want you to do. They want to have it more transparent from a fee standpoint. And, of course, what this is going to do is the smaller investor, it's just going to eliminate a lot of people helping out the smaller investors, maybe a portfolio of a couple hundred grand or less. It just isn't going to be worth it, not going to be worth the time, not going to be worth the money, not going to be worth the potential liability. So that's on the table. When we hear anything more about that, we'll be more than happy to let you know what's going on with that, because that's affecting many, many people out there. So, again, another big concern for folks that are selling securities. But, again, that just opens up another opportunity here for us as index annuity salespeople. You know, we know what they can do. We know their strengths. We know their weaknesses. As long as you disclose these to the clients, we know that they cannot lose money due to market performance. So, essentially, those have a significant degree of safety, and I'll submit to you that we're going to see more and more people get involved with the index world. More and more advisors are going to get more and more involved with the index world. When I was in Des Moines, we did, again, have that panel with the CEOs and the various insurance carriers, and they did say that a lot of big broker-dealers are getting involved with the index annuities. They're saying that they have been, Allianz has been approached, Aviva has been approached by major brokerage houses to begin carrying the index annuity because of, obviously, we're in a lower return environment, obviously because guys like you and I are taking monies from major brokerage houses, but they want a piece of this action, and we're going to see more and more people involved with the index annuity world. So keep that in mind going forward. The competition out there is going to rise even further because more people are going to be playing in this market. Okay, that's what I had to talk about today with overall stock market and the index annuity world. As I said, Steve was in an accident on the way here, so he is unable to give his report on the annuity world, but I certainly hope that you got some good information today that you can take back to your clients, help you increase some of your sales. And as always, feel free to give us a call to go over anything you have to need from a case design standpoint and also from just knowing more about the annuity world. So thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.